I have everybody's attention. Sorry, we're a little late getting started. We were waiting for mics. So I'd like to call the 2018 pre-convention board meeting to order. And we will start with the roll call, Mr. Secretary, please.
Okay, I don't have a mic yet, so I'll just be loud. Oh, here. You got a mic there?
No, today I have a mic.
Denise Colley.
Here.
Check.
Andy Arvidson.
Here.
Sydney Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Frank Cuda. Here. Deb Lewis.
Here.
Now you have a mic.
Steve Fixtel. Hi, microphone. How about that? No, Steve?
He's ill.
He's ill. He's home ill.
Lori Allison.
Here.
Carol Brain.
Here.
Holly Kasmarski.
Here.
Jim Turry.
Here.
Annie Hartzell. J.R. Tilson.
Kennison here.
Kennison. Okay, all present except for Steve, and he's excused.
Okay. All right. Now we'll do the call of the rest of the chapters for chapter reps. And this is not in any particular order, it's just the order I wrote it down in. King County. No King County? Is the president here, the chapter rep? All right. South King Council.
Yes!
Kevin's here. You have to be here since Steve isn't. Snohomish County Council.
Jenny Anderson, president.
Jenny's here. Beatball Clubs of Washington State.
Jenny Bacon, president.
Okay. Yakima Valley Council of the Blind.
Lisa.
Wenatchee Valley Council of the Blind. Hey, Ray, you made it. Yay. United Blind of Spokane.
Yes, Debbie Clark.
Debbie. And Jefferson County Council. Hey, Carl, great. Okay. Did I forget anybody? Oh,
No, you're on the board.
I mean, not on the board. Oh, Kim, I'm sorry. Oh, Carol's on the board. Yeah, Carol's on the board. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do we have somebody who has a wireless mic?
I have one. Where would you like it?
Would you like to take it around and let other people introduce themselves? And if you've already said you're here, please don't do it again. Just pass the mic on.
Okay.
Darlene Hilly from North Seattle.
Okay. Thank you.
Esmeralda Hernandez, King County.
Okay. Rebecca Bell, King County Chapter of Seattle and United Blind of Seattle.
Byron Kasmarski of United Blind of Tri-Cities.
And Guide Dog Users. Vivian Conger, Guide Dog Users of Washington State and United Blind of Walla Walla.
Haley Edick for Families of Blind Children and Pierce County Association of the Blind and Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
You're a busy lady.
Burl Colley, Capital City Council of the Blind.
James Shablonsky, Capital City Council of the Blind.
Zandra Brown, Capital City Council.
Jammer Johnson, Tri-Cities.
Pat Johnson, Tri-Cities.
Sherry Devon, Tri-Cities.
Jessamine Landby, South Kids South Council of the Blind.
Let you have to do it first. Kim Moberg, South Kitsap, South Kitsap Council of the Blind.
Marilee Richards, Snohomish County for the Blind.
Patricia Beth for Snohomish.
Bob Cavanaugh, soon to become a member of Snohomish.
Bruce Radke, Whatcom County.
Haley Eggers, Families with Blind Children, WCB Cares, and Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
Marcia White, Secretary, Snohomish County Council of the Blind.
Tim McCorkle, United Blind of Seattle.
Young Choi, United Blind of Seattle.
Anissa Broda, United Blind of Seattle.
Hello, this is Quincy D.
Where
are
you from?
What's up? Okay, UBS. All right.
Kathy Wilson, Pierce County Association of the Blind, President.
Beach University Spokane Chapter.
Glenn McCulley, United Blind of Seattle.
Ursula McCulley, United Blind of Seattle.
Jeanette Dixon, South King County Chapter and Secretary for Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
Ed and Lynn from King County.
And John Amateur, Jefferson County.
Kim Thiel, bookkeeper.
Rhonda Nelson, member at large. I live in SeaTac.
Viola Benson, Capital City Council.
Alan Benson, Capital City Council and 2018 Showcase of Talent Wrangler. Yeah.
Mika White, South King Council of the Blind.
Shannon Curry, South King Council of the Blind, and everybody's favorite person this weekend because I'm in charge of door prizes.
So now you know who to be really nice to.
Jeannie Jacobs, South King Council of the Blind.
Krista Youssef, United Blind of Seattle.
Galen Floyd, South King Council of the Blind.
Kelsey Watson, South King Council of the Blind.
Holly Turry, President, United Blind of Whatcom County.
Nathan Brandon, United Blind of Seattle.
Julie Brandon, United Blind of Seattle.
Harold Quantrill, Yakima Valley Council of the Blind. Oh.
Amy Laurie Hildershine, Yakima Valley Council of the Blind.
Sherry Richardson, Guide Dog Users of Washington State and United Blind of Seattle.
Danielle Marr, Spokane United Blind, and I'm also with GDUWS, and my dog, Brian.
Greg Jack, United Blind of Spokane.
He almost said something else, I'm sure. Habits die hard.
Yeah, here you go, Sarah.
Sorry, the blind. Sarah Edick, Pierce County Association of the Blind, also TTOC, Tacoma Tenants Organizing Committee.
Thank you. I don't know
how to join. Oh, I already did.
Oh, you did yours.
Kathy Jarvis, Jefferson County.
Linda Wickersham, King County Chapter. Yep,
now they're accounted for. Okay.
Tony Martinez, Tri-Cities.
Gloria Walling, President, Capital City Council of the Blind.
Reginald George, Vice President, Yakima Valley Council of the Blind, and hello to our first timer.
Yay!
Heather Mears, Walla Walla, United Blind.
Doreen Cornwell, United Blind, Seattle Chapter Secretary.
Colette Arvidson, Skagit Island County Council of the Blind, Guide Dog Users of Washington State, and Families with Blind Children Committee.
Dustin Crichton, Spokane, Washington.
Is there anyone who we didn't get? Right? Oh, there. Oh, our speaking people over here. And yes, you too, sir. Here.
Jeff Bishop, Guide Dog Users of Washington State.
Yay!
Did you get it?
Yeah. Oh.
Curry Bishop, Guide Dog Users.
Hey, Curry. I'm coming.
David Edick, Pierce County Association of the Blind. And helping with the sound.
Mr. Sound Man.
Wasn't that a song, Mr. Soundman? Rick Lewis, Clarkston, Washington, almost in Idaho.
Woo!
Brian Ellison, zombie sound volunteer.
I don't see any other hands. Are we all?
Is that
introduced?
Everyone?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Colette, and thank you to everyone for being here. This is exciting. I think we're going to have a wonderful convention, and we're going to have Cindy come up here in a few minutes, and if anybody can get you excited about convention, she can. But I want to do the review of the agenda so everybody kind of knows what we're doing. We've already taken care of the first three items. We will have the approval of our May 5th minutes. We will have our treasurer's report and our investment report. We will have convention committee report and announcements, because I bet there are some. Then, if she's around, we are going to have a little bit of a presentation by our IRA representative, who's here this weekend representing IRA. We will then do the awards and first-timers committee report, aging and blindness committee report, constitution and bylaws committee report, crisis committee report, families with blind children report, membership committee report, newsline committee report, scholarship committee report, WCB Cares Committee report, and I have all these reports on here because I didn't know if some of these people wanted to make reports or not. The ones I don't have on here I knew weren't going to make them. If we have any kind of a resolutions committee report, the WSSB report by Jolene, if she's here, Washington Talking Book and Braille Library report by Reggie. Then I don't have it on the agenda because I didn't know at first if we were going to have one. We'll have an update from the Rehab Council, DSB Rehab Council. I will do a brief ACB update, and then we'll go to old and new business. We're going to talk about future WCB conventions, the website status update, our bank account and credit card status, the 2019 board meetings, a summary of, this is the one you're going to be so excited about, summary of the proposed WCB budget for 2019, and then any final announcements. Is there anything that needs to be added to the agenda that I may have omitted? All right. Mr. Well, let's ask, do we have the board received the May 5th, 2018 WCB Board of Directors meeting minutes, and thank you, Frank, for sending those out again. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
There's a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Andy and Annie.
Andy moved, Annie seconded. Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried. And let me just explain, for those of you who this may be your first board meeting, anyone can ask a question, anyone can speak on a motion, but only the board can make motions and only the board can vote. So that's how that works. So Deb, you want to give us the treasurer's report, please?
She needs a mic.
It's on. Okay. There. That's good. Yeah, that's working.
This one's live too.
Whoops. Are we good?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Denise. That's good. And thanks, Holly, for holding the mic. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, and I am excited, of course, to summarize the work of the Treasury for this year and the financial statements as of third quarter. Plus, I will discuss a few items that have already happened or will be happening in fourth quarter of 2018. Generally speaking, financial things have gone well, and as we head into the last quarter of this financial year. Okay, starting with the income statement, our big fundraising activity, which is commonly referred to as the Santa Show, doesn't kick into full gear until after third quarter, which is consistent with previous years. After all, it is the Santa Show. Can't expect too much action in September, right? Although I did hear my first Christmas music this week, I will give you that. But the receipts have started to come in, and per Rob Turner, the show organizer, they are hoping to do better than last year, which wasn't all that great, unfortunately. Last year, Santa Show fundraising noted just over $19,000, so it's a low bar to beat as compared to previous years. I will update the status of the Santa Show at the winter board meeting with 2018 real numbers. Vehicle donations have brought in $0. I counted them. Traditional and scholarship donations are up this year due to the generosity of donors honoring some of our members who have passed away this year and our participation in the Brenda Dillon Memorial Walk at National Convention. Except I overslept. I have to actually confess this. We continue to establish a connection with some of the online donation services that corporations use to facilitate employee giving, but this is an area that has not been utilized, and generally, we are just accepting the donations that find us. There was discussion about this at the summer retreat, and some good ideas for moving this forward were generated, so maybe we'll see some changes there next year. Membership dues total $4,405 at third quarter, which is slightly less than prior years and also less than budgeted. This total also includes two lifetime memberships. We thank the local chapters for their great work in welcoming new members and retaining existing membership. State convention revenue was midstream at the end of third quarter at $14,580, due largely to the early bird deadline being September 15th. That amount is double the receipts of last year at this time, which could be location or the deadlines, perhaps. Vendor table income was better than budgeted, bringing in a total of $1,300 by September 30th. And we've got more since then, but that's for third quarter. Updated total for registration as of October 29th was $20,150 and vendor tables at $2,395. And both of those have actually gone up a little bit even since then. Please stop by the vendor tables tomorrow and thank them for their participation and buy their stuff. And don't forget the multi-raffle that benefits that line item in our financial statements. I am looking forward to seeing how we do with this new activity, and this is a great fundraiser for WCB. With all that, total revenue at the end of third quarter is $24,370. Moving on to expenses. Starting with ACB convention in St. Louis, our state had several members and guests participate in the Washington caucus. WCB expense at this event includes sending our president, Denise Colley, and a first-timer, Heather Mears, to the event. In addition, WCB provided stipends to several members, although there was plenty extra in that stipend budget for more attendees. Next year, ACB convention is in New York, so expenses could be more. WCB also donated an item for the silent auction, and the total ACB convention cost was $5,004. Quarterly board meetings take up a good portion of the expenses through the end of third quarter and blew the budget for different reasons. Winter board meeting was the only event on track at a total of $4,223. Spring board meeting was over budget despite canceling the leadership portion. The hotel charged us a cancellation fee, but since the hotel was also the convention hotel, they allowed nearly $2,000 of that fee to go toward our convention bill. We'll have to see how that all works out in the end, but for now, it's an expense. Summer board meeting was not budgeted, but an executive retreat was later planned. As the retreat was not budgeted, the $4,237 spent is obviously over budget. Total expense for board meetings and retreats without leadership was $14,928 this year, which is nearly $1,000 more than last year's expense of $13,968. One of the chapters did not qualify for their stipend, so the chapter stipends line item is again under budget. Committee expenses are tracked by individual committee, and a big thanks to all members for turning in their receipts and keeping me informed of expenses. If I could take just a minute, though, to emphasize the reimbursement requests must be made in a timely fashion without being reminded by me. This is a point that can be improved, but we are getting better. Of course, we are tracking and reporting WCB operational expenses, and most are as expected or better for third quarter and consistent with prior years. Telephone, storage, insurance, bookkeeping, and tax preparation are all on target. Conference call expense was cut 95% this year due to switching the service. Credit card processing fees are over budget, but as more members register for convention online, that is expected. More of a budget issue than an expense issue, as it costs money to process credit cards. Commission travel and president's discretionary are at or below budget as well. The expense of the ACB president's meeting was $1,322 as compared to last year's $1,648. State convention is a major player for the financial statements on an annual basis, but most of those expenses have not hit the books yet. Expenses will be tracked using the budget line items as approved last year, so looking forward to providing good feedback to the board as well as the budget and convention committee in the near future. As to not take away from the scholarship committee update, that committee did award money to scholarship recipients this year, and those checks are ready for disbursement. The details will be noted in the committee update, but awards ended up at nearly half that of 2017. And a side note that even though it was budgeted this year, no grants have been awarded at this time, but the committee may still do that before year end. Crisis grants totaled $966 through third quarter. Wrapping up our tour of the income statement, the Morgan Stanley investment management fees were $5,393 through the third quarter, in third quarter, totaling $15,728 thus far per year. As fees have increased, the line item will be over budget by the end of the year by an estimated $3,000. Total expenses for first 9 months were $66,496. So we have a net operating loss as September 30th of $42,126. Rounding out the income statement is the net gain and loss on the Morgan Stanley account, which represents the realized and unrealized change in the account balance as a result of selling investments and market fluctuation. Total net gain and loss for the year through September 30th was $199,321, and as I noted in previous quarters, is quite significant but not unexpected given the current market. Because of these returns, WCB has a positive bottom line for the year through September 30th of $157,195. Turning to the balance sheet for September 30th, 2018, total assets at the end of third quarter were $1,513,625 for 2018 compared to $1,280,855 in 2017. Consistent with second quarter, the increase is mostly due to the Morgan Stanley accounts, which was previously discussed. Of the total assets, $24,539 is in checking and PayPal accounts. The Northwest Access Fund totaled $41,350 at quarter end, of which $8,189 is the current loan receivable. There are four loans outstanding, and all are current. One WCB loan was awarded to attend the national convention totaling $700. As of September 30th, that loan is current and in good standing. However, one loan from last year is in default with a total of $430 due. And instead of stipends to attend the state convention this year, loans of up to $300 were made available to qualified members. Three loans were approved and disbursed. As the first payments are not due yet, all of these loan receivables are current and in good standing. However, one loan from last year is in default with the full amount of $300 still due. So the two Morgan Stanley accounts totaled $1,446,446. This is an increase of over $231,525 from the 2017 third quarter balance. You knew I'd fall over one of them sooner or later. This growth is a result of large realized and unrealized gains recorded in 2018, which is to be expected considering the continued highs that the stock market experienced during this same time frame. And finally, total liabilities of $512 represents the invoice for the 2017 tax return and Newsline expenses that have since been paid. That's it in a nutshell. If you have questions about the financial statements in general or the detail, please contact me directly. I am interested in your feedback. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deb. Are there any questions?
I have a question about the expenses. The Morgan Stanley fee that we pay them, is that a fixed amount or is that somewhat dependent on how much we gain or lose?
It's based on our activity.
It is. So you really can't know what it's going to be for you?
No, you can't totally know because you don't know about the activity and the value of your assets and what all is going on. So there isn't ever a total way of knowing. The only thing you can do is project somewhat based on previous years, but we'll never have a total handle on that, I don't think.
Thank you.
Linda?
Hi.
I had somebody that wanted to donate 2 to 3 cars. So they had me call the company that you guys deal with, and they said we had to do a new contract, and so I passed that information on, but I haven't heard any more to pass on to the person.
So, Linda, unless we have somebody who's got 2 or 3,000 cars, it's honestly not making any difference at this time. We have to pay all of the expenses of the vehicle donation firm first, and all of the cars that have been donated on our behalf over the last 5 years or so have netted us about $50.
Okay, well, I can tell you these cars are in excellent shape.
Yeah, it won't matter. The overhead is so high that when the car sales were working for us, we had thousands of cars coming through that system.
So in other words, you're not taking cars.
So basically, we're not really taking the cars right now. We probably need to pull it off the budget because unless we really can find a supply of cars, all we're doing is feeding the company.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Okay, hearing none, do I hear a motion to accept the treasurer's and report and investment report?
I make a motion that we accept the treasurer's report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Carol, seconded by JR. Any other discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Deb. Great work. Cindy, you want to come tell us all about convention and make any announcements and anything else you want to do? Oh, I shouldn't tell her that, should I? Oh, hey, I like that plan.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Yay! Are you having a good time so far? So first, I really want to get control of my dog. Thank you. Sorry. She's socializing. I want to acknowledge, I worked with a great committee, but I want to really acknowledge a few specific people. Holly Turi did not mention this, but she is overseeing volunteers, and please be good to our volunteers that come this weekend. Carol, of course, is doing exhibits coordinator. So tomorrow, exhibits will be held in what is the Gateway Ballroom, or it's also Magnolia, Capitol, and Beacon. So it breaks into 3 rooms. When we put the vendor list together, we broke it up by room so you can look at each room and see which vendors are in that particular room. They're in alphabetical order, so hopefully that'll be easy for you to find who you want to find. But darn it, go see them all, right? Okay. Kevin and South King County Council of the Blind have done a stellar job. So, thank you to them. Of course, we couldn't do all of this without Lori Ellison. Thank you, Lori, for handling registration, making sure everybody's name tags and everything was in order and people got what they needed. And to all of the people who volunteered to help with registration today, we know it's all busy and everything. Currently, I hate to say exact numbers because I know numbers are growing. We have people that are registering at convention, but we are at over 215 registered. couple of just little small change. Well, one particular small change. Those coming to the Life membership, Life members reception tomorrow night, instead of it being in the Queen Anne ballroom, in the Queen Anne room, that is not a ballroom. It's a small room, and it cannot handle the 50 people who have signed up to attend. So instead, we will be in the Summit Ballroom, which is where our meals will be tomorrow night, or tomorrow throughout the day on the 12th floor. It's a big room, so when you come in, just try and find a table close to the door so we're not all scattered around that big room. But that is for Life members. And so to go to that, you need to have a heart on your name tag. And if you don't, go see Lori tomorrow morning and find out what's going on. And if you want to buy a Life membership, it's $150. If you did not pre-register and you want to register for the convention tomorrow morning, Kim will be with Lori to accept payments for registrations. So if you have somebody that is with you that wanted to register but hasn't yet, that's the time. She also is in position then to accept money for life things like Life memberships. Relieving areas. The one in the front of the building, which is the main one we'll probably be using, there's also one in the back near the main entrance of the restaurant, but the one near the lobby, it has been moved. It was originally in not a good place. It was right at the top of a curb, so if you stepped around to walk around with your dog, you were going to fall off the curb, which is something I did, but fortunately did not fall. Instantly, though, we had them move it. So now, when you leave the building out the main entrance, turn left. As soon as you feel the dip in the sidewalk, it goes down. Turn to your right and cross the driveway, and there's sod across this little driveway. It's pretty easy to find, and the receptacle is to the right of the relieving area when you're looking at it with your back to the building. Anything else? Door prizes will start tomorrow. They will be drawn throughout tomorrow in general sessions in the awards luncheon upstairs on the 12th floor. And then throughout the day on Saturday and at the banquet on Saturday night, you need to be present to win unless you are working specifically on behalf of the convention. So, any specific questions for me? Oh, name tags. Thank you. So, when you are looking at a name tag or when you put your fingers into the name tag and you feel to the left, you should have a green dot for voting. And to the right, when you are touching your name tag while it's on, to the right will be your dot that represents your meals that you are attending. I don't know all the color coding. But what is the meals one, Lori? Yellow. So if you have a yellow dot, you can attend any of the meal functions. If you have a puppy paw on your name tag, it feels very glittery, the puppy paw. That means that you're attending guide dog functions. And then there's the heart in between, well, on mine, between the puppy and my voting dot is my heart. Because my heart's between my guide dog and my WCB. There you go, right? Please wear your name tags at all times. If you are not wearing your name tag, you may be asked to leave. You certainly will be asked to please go get your name tag. And, really, folks, I can only reiterate this so much. I've spoken with many people who ask the same questions. Can somebody come just for this or just for that? Or you have heard the convention costs a lot of money to put on, and all of you sitting in here have paid money to come here, and we appreciate you doing that. Even what you have paid does not pay all of what convention costs. And so it is the expectation that people come here, and we are liable as people are in our event for them. So there's a liability for us. And so if people come, we need to know who they are while they're here. It's for everyone's safety, everyone. So the other thing I just wanted to quickly mention, because there was some controversy on the WCB email list about the fact that the security feature for a card, for needing your card to use the elevators, was turned off for our event per my request, after my contact here also told me that many groups have it turned off for the group programs, because it just makes things so much faster and people, you know, are trying to move through those elevators. I wanted to let you know that there is an on-site security guard from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. every day. So at night, there is somebody roaming the halls and around the outside of the building from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. So that's it. I think that's it. What's that? Yes. Oh, two more things, actually. So on Saturday, there's a youth program going on. So on Saturday, at lunch especially, some of those kids, there's I think six kids that will be here, they will be in our regular lunches with their parents. If you happen to be sitting at a table with them, please make them feel welcome. Let's show our best sides, of course. We want everybody to feel welcome. So thank you to those who may be serving as mentors for those young people. And they are here from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. I know one family is staying actually through the banquet. The other thing is, it was mentioned briefly by Debbie about our multi-raffle. Lisa's worked really hard on putting some wonderful packages together. There are 10 of them. Tickets are sold for $5 a piece. You choose which package you want to put your chance into. There are only 500 tickets to sell. Once they are sold, then the raffle closes. You can use a credit card to purchase tickets at a minimum of $25 purchase. So Debbie also mentioned that it costs money to use the credit card, to accept credit cards. So we need to make sure that it is, you know, financially makes sense for us to accept them. So if you are ready to buy five tickets or more, then you can use your credit card. We also, of course, take cash. That will be open from 2 to 5 tomorrow up in Queen Anne on the 12th floor. Those who come to the Life Members Reception will also have opportunity to check out the goods and purchase tickets. And then, again, they will be on display, and tickets will be sold, if they are still available, of course, at the pre-banquet hour, so 6 to 7 during the social hour prior to the banquet up in Summit. So buy them. There's some wonderful items, including two nights and a dinner certificate to next year's hotel site, which I'm not mentioning right now. And there's Seahawks and some yoga and some goodies and one really special package that includes a quilt that's been made by Jolene and her quilting group that is leadership and other WCB t-shirts all made into a quilt. So that's one of the packages that you can put in for. So I hope that you'll go and support WCB. Yes. If you lose your name tag, it's going to cost you $5 to get it replaced. There you go. And if you are leaving and you want to leave your name tag off, you can do that at registration. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And Linda, did you have a question?
Yes, I did.
I don't know if I just missed it or what, but some of us put down allergies, and I didn't see anything in my packet about that. So what do you want us to do at the meals?
With your name tag, there should have been.
In the back of your name tag? There should be a card.
Oh, okay. I, As I said, I could have missed it. I'm sorry.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks to the...
That's a good reminder, though, Linda.
Thanks to the lady with the microphone. She found it. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, that's a great reminder. Everyone, if you did put in for a dietary need, a medical dietary need, on your registration form, and you should have one of those little cards. It's your responsibility to make sure the server does not serve you the wrong food. Once they serve it to you, then if you can't eat it, it's going to get thrown away, and that's not very fair, right? So it's your responsibility to make sure it's the gluten-free or it's the vegetarian or whatever. You need to let them know that that's what you need. Have the card out. They should be watching for it, but they've got 200 people to watch for, so please help out in that regard and communicate with your server. All right.
Cindy, I have a question. This is Lynn. I'm one of those weird people that don't like to take elevators. So do we need to use our room key to go from room to room? When I was in Israel and I did all the stairs.
You'll need to ask the front desk. As far as I know, there are no stairs to use except for as an emergency exit.
Oh, so we can't do stairs down here. Oh,
no.
Okay.
This is a small hotel. It really is overall. It's a smaller hotel. The stairs that they do have they are fire exits. So if you get into that stairwell, the only way is out, the only way to go out once you're in it is outside. So. What?
Coming. Microphone coming.
I can't hear.
So in our room, there's two things that you can hang on your door, and the shorter one is about saving water. I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't wash my sheets every night. And the hotel, if you're part of their membership, there's some, like, bonus point thing. But if you just want to save water, you can hang it's the shorter door hanging, and you can hang it on the outside of your door, and they won't change your linens, which... I mean, it's up to you. People have different needs, but okay. It was a really fun thing to find.
Also, internet access, the code is 6901 while you're here, 6901, for Wi-Fi, yes. And did everybody find that the flusher on the toilet is on your wall? Okay, so it's on the wall. My husband said, oh, you didn't include that in the hotel description. I said, people figure it out, right? So... Glad you're able to flush your toilet. All right, you guys, hospitality will be after this meeting in the Gateway Ballroom. Hope you'll come and say hi. We're glad you're here. Have a good time.
One more question, please.
Go ahead.
It's come to my knowledge that there was a problem with ordering lunches and dinners, and we have to keep our stipend, our receipt, or whatever.
What?
Okay, Julie. Hold on. That's for the students.
Okay. Hang on. That has to do with OTC students only, and I can share that with those that are here. What it is the meals that you have to pay for that aren't included in your WCB registration, just keep your receipts and we'll compensate you at DSB next week. That's what that's about. So that's just for students, you guys, not for general members.
Okay.
If any of you have any questions that are OTC students here, just come see me personally. Thanks.
All right. Is Kelly in the room?
Yay!
All right. You guys, when I learned back in whatever month I was back in September, I guess it was, at the board meeting, ACB board meeting, that Washington's convention was going to get to be a free access site with IRA, I was absolutely excited, and I couldn't wait to come home and tell everybody, except I had to wait a few days because I had to make sure I got the announcement first before I announced it. But we are so fortunate to have this opportunity to use our IRA equipment if we are explorers. And for those of you who are not explorers and are guests, we hope that you're going to be using it this weekend and you're going to become explorers. And if you want to be an explorer, come see me so I can get credit. It gives me great pleasure right now to introduce Kelly Lovett. Kelly is the West Coast Director of Sales, and she has a few words to say about IRA.
Thank you so much, Denise. And this is Kelly from IRA, and I was just as ecstatic when Eric Bridges, who's a good friend of mine and an IRA advisor and explorer, said that Washington was going to be one of the places we got to go to. So thank you for hosting, and thank you to the board. So my name is Kelly. Like I said, I also have one of my agents with me who is a local to Seattle. I have Jenny here with me as well. So I'll be really brief because I know you guys have a lot to cover, but I do want to thank the board. Thank you, Denise. Thank you, Deb, for getting IRA here. It's our first WCV convention. We're really excited to be here, and thank you. Thank you for listening to my raspy voice for 2 minutes. So IRA, we are a assistive technology company. We have a pair of smart glasses in service for the blind and low vision. From the double tap on a user's, yes.
Conversations down, please.
They're probably just talking about how much they love IRA.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, are there any IRA explorers in the room? Woo! Oh, I see Jeff Bishop in the front. Yeah, so an IRA explorer is anyone who uses our service. So we also have a guest option for everyone here who's a smartphone user can download the IRA app and utilize the service for free while you're here this weekend. But I did want to just talk to you guys about four awesome initiatives that we've implemented here in 2018. And the first is the IRA Employment Program. So Eric Bridges actually came to our office for this initiative and was part of the foundation of it. So any explorer who utilizes IRA services for job-seeking purposes, those minutes are covered by IRA. It's our part of taking the 70% of unemployment and underemployment in the blind and low vision community down to 7%. The second big initiative we wanted to let y'all know about is the back to school program. So this year, IRA is proud to announce that we have sponsored 200 blind and low vision college, grad, and PhD students and provided them IRA for free while they're throughout the course of their fall and spring semesters. The third initiative that we're super excited about is with our partner Intuit, which is the TurboTax and QuickBooks company. So any entrepreneur or small business owner, which includes contractors, is able to utilize the IRA service without having a subscription for free. Unlimited use, 30 minutes call per call, but any job-related task, the small business owners are able to use IRA for free.
Yes!
And please use it. And the fourth and most exciting announcement, which just happened today, I was going to have your local agent, Jenny, provide you that initiative announcement.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jenny. I am so excited to talk about the Vote 2018 promotion. Any explorer or guest can call an agent and have assistance with any voting-related activity, whether it's going over your pamphlet, voting in person, or filling out your pamphlet, or if you're out there advocating for your candidate or your initiative, call into IRA. An agent will assist you for free.
Thank you, Jenny. So the voting initiative started today, and that goes through November 7th. So get out there and vote, y'all. So we're going to be at the booth tomorrow starting at 10 a.m., I believe. So come by the booth to learn about the convention exclusive deal that we have going on and to learn more about our voting, employment, you know, education, or small business initiatives. Thank you so much again to the board. Thank you, Deb. Thank you, Denise. We appreciate your all's time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I chair the ACB Scholarship Committee, and when I learned this summer that all of my scholarship winners were going to get to be IRA explorers for 9 months, and I wasn't an explorer yet at that time, and I kept saying, is there any way I can go back to school so I can become an IRA explorer? It was the most exciting thing I have gotten to do in my whole life, was to tell those kids, this is what you're going to get. And I made them wait until they got to convention and we were at the scholarship dinner before I told them that they were going to get to have IRA. It was really fun. Can we get a microphone to Mika to talk about first-timers and awards?
On our way.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey.
Yeah. So I am really excited. First of all, I had an amazing committee, and I really get to do some fun stuff. So, we have 4 first-timers who received the first-timer scholarship here, and they are Jeff and Pat Johnson, Marsha White, and Harold Quantrill. So we are very, very, very happy to have you in the WCB family at your first WCB convention. And secondly, if you are a first timer, if this is your first time at convention in general, whether you came on the scholarship or with OTC or somebody in this organization told you about it, please clap your hands. Take note of the people around you who are clapping, y'all. There are going to be awards. So first, let me back up. The first-timers breakfast is going to be tomorrow at 7:30. So be there or be an octagon. So hope that if you're a first-timer that you will come. And I think that my committee will also be there. So it's going to be a rip-roaring good time. So it's going to be great. And then there will be the awards luncheon. There are going to be some awesome awards given out, you guys. So I hope that you are excited because God knows I am. So awards given tomorrow at the luncheon and at the banquet. So I hope that you will all be there and be able to celebrate with everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mika. Deb, Aging and Blindness Committee. This committee's been working on some stuff.
We're getting it. Yep, that looks good. Thanks. Oh, so first of all, the Aging and Blindness Committee has met its goal for the year, which is that we all aged. And so we were successful again. And that concludes our report. No, actually, we do have a number of pretty important things to talk about. Aging and Blindness is working on a situation in our state that we view here in WCB as crisis. Basically, the independent living program provided by the Department of Services for the Blind, which serves primarily older blind individuals. They tell them they're older, but I've been in that population a long time already, and I don't think I'm all that old. But it's people over 55 who are not going to work, and they also serve some folks under 55 who, for different reasons, primarily medical, are not going to work. And if you're not going to work, there's no rehab for you except this program. So there's no way to learn Braille. There's no way to learn travel. There's no way to get low vision aids. There's no way to get any of those counseling things, nothing. And so this program has taken a 20% cut this year. And this is very, very significant. So the Aging and Blindness Committee has been working along with Denise, serving on some task forces that DSB has established to work through this process a little bit a day late and a dollar short. So we are working through that process. We will have a resolution that has been developed by the Aging and Blindness Committee, and you are invited to share in continued development of that this evening in the Resolutions Committee, but basically we are needing to take some pretty significant action. So we are in the process of planning for those things. The other thing the Aging and Blindness Committee is doing that is we think is really big is that we're going to stop being a committee. We've decided that that's not enough for us. And we have some folks in this group that are pretty passionate that much of the future of WCB and ACB, for that matter, is in its special affiliates that it has. And we believe that we could reach out to a lot more people and create a strong environment. So the Aging and Blindness Committee is exploring and has made a decision to become part of ACB's Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, and we will be having our introductory exploration meeting to develop who will be the charter members and how we will get things organized and taken care of, and those things will be happening in January. We will announce those information far and wide, and we'll contact people who are members at large, particularly of WCB, to try to bring them into this particular affiliate. And we look forward to some good things. But we think this will be a good way to expand our senior base and really make a difference, because the time is now. And it has been a long time since WCB has needed to, and the other consumer organizations in the state have needed to really seriously get down and defend our blindness programs. They've fared very well over the last few years, and we might be a little out of practice on this. So if this is of interest to you, you'll want to join with us over the next few months to learn more about this and to be prepared to involve yourself legislatively and otherwise, because we have to make some changes quickly, or there won't be any services for that population. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. And it's interesting because it just so happens that I am the ACB board liaison to the Aging and Vision Loss Committee. Frank, Constitution and Bylaws.
Gee, we have great news for you. We have lots of amendments.
Yeah.
I just want to bring to your attention that we're going to probably be a little stressed tomorrow. We need to get through a lot of reading. We have 41 minutes of amendments to read for first reading. We have 13 total amendments, and I would like to see them spread out a little bit more than that, but there's some major changes that I guess had to be made, and we're going to deal with it. But and we have copies, of course, available, Braille, large print, if you want to look at them. And we also had electronic ones. Anyone, I encourage you to look at them and look them over before the meeting so that we can reduce the number of questions and the time that it takes to get through them on the floor. Thank you. Oh, and we meet, of course, tonight. After the board meeting.
In here. In this room. Yes. It is going to be interesting to get through them all. And so what we're going to have to do is we don't have time tomorrow morning to read 43 minutes worth of Constitution and Bylaws. So we are going to have to break them up. So we will be reading a good share of them tomorrow morning. We will also be reading some of them at the beginning of lunch tomorrow. So you need to get in there and get seated and listen up so that you are hearing those. And then the last few we will try to fit in tomorrow afternoon. as we can, because we have to have a first reading on all of those before we can vote on them on Saturday. Crisis Committee, Jim, do you have a report? We're gonna get Colette some roller skates.
Okay, yeah, it's working. All right, as Deb stated earlier, we're down a little bit, thank goodness. We spent $965.65 so far this year, and we have helped four people so far. There may be one in the wings, so we're hoping for a mild winter and that we don't have too many more crises. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next is our Families with Blind Children report. Actually, this committee is co-chaired by Haley Eggers and Colette Arvidson, but I did ask Haley to make this report.
Haley, did you want to start there or here? Okay, so in case anybody didn't hear that, we have two Haleys on the committee, and Haley Edick is going to start with part of it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that part. Okay.
It's okay. We do this just to confuse everybody. No.
They like to confuse
we confuse each other.
That's right.
Well, the part that I was going to present is an idea that I presented to our committee, and they indulged me and started to think it was a good idea, too, is a book drive. Children need early literacy, and it is kind of difficult. I am a blind parent of two kids, and it is kind of difficult to go to your local bookstore and say, I want to pick up a Braille book, because you're not going to find them there. And so my idea was to give those books that you don't need for your grandchildren or children because they're just too young. You can only read Spot Can Run for so long before your kids are way past that, and pass them on to another family who can use them. And hopefully people will pass on gently used books. I was fortunate to be given a bunch of books that were in quite good condition. Some of them might have been labeled slanted because people label their own books a lot. But I don't care how beautiful it looks in Braille, as long as I can read it. And my kids have enjoyed some books, and I snuck some away to donate myself. So that is something that we as families of blind children are trying to start, and hope that maybe you guys can help support it.
And if they brought any books, you have a box?
The box is by the registration table.
Okay.
And if you don't have them, I think, oh wait, okay, I might be, Denise, don't throw anything at me. I think we could send them to Denise. Is that right?
Yes, they can do
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I was ready for tomatoes. Oh man. Okay. So that's my part of the report.
I wouldn't throw anything at you, Haley.
It depends which Haley you're gonna hit.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it's really confusing having two Haleys on the same committee.
Okay, this is the other Haley. Sorry, excuse me. I don't know. I came down with a chest cold right before convention. So it's been a really busy year. We've gotten a lot done. Colette and I took over in August, I think, and it's just been kind of crazy. So at the beginning of the year, we did the Braille Challenge, and that was done in conjunction with Wetabal. And that's always really busy. We need lots of volunteers to make that happen, proctors to check the Braille work and make sure people to spend time with families that come with the blind youth that are participating. So it's always a busy time, and we'll be reaching out to some of you for the next Braille Challenge. So just know that's coming your way. In the summertime, we did the Yes To program, and I had the pleasure of doing it again this year. It was my second year to do it. And so I connect with Janet George at DSB, and we go to to a sorority house in Seattle, and this year there was 27 participants. What I was really sad to find out when I got there is that only two of those participants were Braille readers. Yeah, and when I spoke to them, a lot of them were, you know, visually impaired, or some of them just felt like everything they needed to do, they could be done with technology, and they just didn't feel a need for Braille anymore. So that's going to be a big push, is just that the importance of Braille and different ways that kids can use it. It's not just all about technology. Okay, I'm not the right person to maybe, I'm a little bit biased. So, and then also Colette and Andy did, with the Yes 2 kids, they also did, the self-defense class with them, and that was a gift that was purchased by Galen's chapter, I believe, and then Andy and Colette went in and did that. Yeah. Awesome. Sorry if I misspoke, but okay. And then our big thing this year is that we worked really hard on updating our brochure, and so, you know, the committee all gave their input, and Colette and I worked on putting that together, and we've printed out and distributed over 600 brochures since we printed them, and that was probably in just September. So places like eye doctor's offices, YMCAs, schools, gosh, pediatricians' offices, I handed them even at senior centers because, you know, blindness doesn't affect just the person that's blind. It's about the whole family. And so if we can even find grandparents who have blind grandchildren, or a grandparent themselves is blind, you know, we want to reach out to as many people as we can. And Colette also, Andy and Colette did a wine and walk this year in Wenatchee. And that was in conjunction with Ray Hale, helped them to get that together and organize that. And it was just a chance to go and speak, get our name out there and who we are. So that's really what we're trying to do right now as our big goal, is just kind of getting our name out there and seeing who we can reach. And what I'm most excited about is that we will be doing the youth conference this year. And we haven't had a youth conference since 2013, if I'm correct. And so it was something we've been talking about, and we kind of went back and forth, but then DSB reached out to us and said they really wanted to do it. So that will be on Saturday, and I think that number went up to seven students and their families. And so the morning they will have mentors, and if you are going to be a mentor, you should have gotten an email from me saying where to meet. We'll meet in the Beacon Room at 11:15 on Saturday. And thank you for doing that. I'm super excited about the mentor matches that were made. And in the afternoon, they're going to have a Rooted in Rights program. So they'll be here from 9 to 3, like Cindy said. And if you, you know, are around those youth, just make them feel welcome. For some of them, this is their first exposure to being around, you know, other blind people. And then this year, we have a raffle, too. We're going to have one of the raffle baskets. And so just as a little sneak peek, it's got two Amazon dots in it. It's got $100 worth of different gift cards. It's a family entertainment themed basket. So please take a look at that basket, and it would be a great something for you guys, or a great something to gift to someone over the holidays. And I think that's it. It just seems like it's been a really busy year, and going forward, we're going to be reaching out to the chapters more. Colette and Andy did a Easter egg hunt too this year, which was really successful in working with one of the TVIs up in Bellingham. And so we're going to be reaching out to you guys and your chapters more in the next year. So be warned. We need to reach as many people as we can, and we can't do that without you. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Talk to you in a little while.
Yes.
Okay, I Sarah. See a hand up, and I'm going back with the microphone. While I get there, I just want to say that when Andy and I did that Easter egg hunt, we did it in conjunction with the local Lions Club, so we're trying to reach out wherever we can.
I actually need a brochure to take with me, because one of my medical assistants, when I was actually at the doctor, she said, do you, like, hang out with blind people? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, why do you ask? She goes, well, I've got a daughter who's blind, so I was just wondering. And I'm like, well, let me give you some information, and I haven't been able to get it to her yet, so.
We'll make sure you get one, Sarah.
I need one.
We'll make sure you get one.
We have those both in 18-point font and in 14. So I'll get you one of each.
So you can tell this committee has not let any grass grow under their feet. They have just been doing a marvelous job. And they have some exciting things coming up this next year if all works well. So it's just been delightful. You guys don't like me anymore. Jeez, you turn off my mic. I was on a roll too. That's all right. I'll get back at you. So it's just been a delight to work with this committee. It's just a lot of fun, and everybody has worked really hard, and it's just really exciting. Julie, you want to talk about membership? I'm sure she has a lot to share.
Well, we have a very vibrant membership committee this year, including myself. There's 9 members on it, and we're all women. And so it's just hilarious. You ought to hear us on one of our committee meetings. All of us have plenty to say. I am so pleased with the committee. I just want to mention their names. Everyone on that committee has a passion for membership. And that's Lori Allison, Jenny Anderson, Carol Brame, Shannon Curry, Danette Dixon, Cindy Glidden, Tracy Fedgerin, Janet Squires, and myself. So really a vibrant committee. We have divided membership in our thought processes into 2 categories, and that's retention and recruitment. Our first part of the year, we're focusing on recruitment. The first thing we did was contact all of the chapter presidents and ask them, please give us a membership-focused person from your chapter. Sometimes it can be the president. Often it is not. Some chapters are too small to have a membership committee within their chapter. So we've tried to make sure we have a membership rep from each chapter, and that is so that the chapter has someone that's going to focus on membership. We've had 1 meeting so far. We're going to have quarterly meetings. We have monthly meetings with the committee, quarterly meetings with the membership reps within the chapters. And the one meeting we had was quite lively. What we've worked on with chapters is to develop our membership recruitment packet. There have been a lot of discussions. Are packets worth it? What kind of thing do we want to do? But at this point, we've talked about in that packet having a few state items, WCB brochure, letter from the president. But primarily, we want people to focus in their locale. That's one thing about the council is we're really very locally oriented because every chapter has their own flavor, has their own culture, has their own membership, and so that chapter knows best who they're reaching out to. We've talked a lot about what are we going to do with these brochures or packets? What are we going to do with these business cards? We're encouraging every chapter to have a business card with a phone number on it, an email address if they have a website, a president's name, contact person for that president or membership rep, so that you don't have to carry a packet with you, but if you're on a bus, access van, walking down the street, someone seems interested, knows somebody who's blind, wants a connection, you can hand that business card to them. We just realized there are so many blind and visually impaired people in the state who don't have a connection to a blindness organization. So we're doing everything we can within the membership committee for recruitment. The next year, we're going to focus on retention ideas. So just letting you know that's coming up. Another thing we really got involved in was the convention this year. We're very excited about that. We sponsored the Welcome Lounge, which membership committee always does. And we started a program called Convention Friend. And I got the list of all of the first-timers. And all those first-timers, except for just a couple, were matched with a person, a convention friend, if possible in their locale. If not possible, someone who was able to be a convention friend. And that person was to call them ahead of time, make a connection, share email, share phone numbers, offer to sit with them during the business meeting, go to a dinner with them if they wanted. It's just a way for first-timers, because your first convention can be absolutely overwhelming, State is hard enough. National really is overwhelming, but the state is where we are. And until you get to know people, it's really hard to be at a convention. So really excited. We had 18 people volunteer for that. And I want to thank everyone that agreed to be a convention friend. In fact, Haley and I were talking to some of the same people. And I think we were trying to see who was going to get there first. And we were saying to the people, who got there first? She can't have you. I want you. I know you did. Yes, I heard. Anyway, so that is what the membership committee has been doing. We will continue to have monthly meetings. And like I said, this next year, our focus will be on retention. How do chapters make themselves vibrant and interesting and a place where people in that locale want to attend? Thank you much.
Thank you. Newsline. About midway through the year with Newsline, we had to make some changes, and so at this point, I have been filling in as Newsline editor. One of the things, first of all, we have a wonderful Newsline committee, Reggie George, Heather Mears, Cindy Van Winkle, Annie Hartzell, and myself. And one of the things we did implement this year, as you noticed, was themed newslines. And can anybody tell me what the theme is for the next issue?
Living and learning.
Living and learning. And when is the deadline for your articles? Hey, you guys are good. You pay attention. So, yes, articles are due November 30th is a deadline. We apologize that we didn't get three issues out this year. There were a lot of reasons for that, but we are in the process of developing some real guidelines. My goal is that we're going to create an editor's handbook, somewhat like what the ACB Board of Publications has, so that we have everything down in writing, as so that whoever comes on as the editor sort of knows what the process is, what the policies are. We're looking at newsletter formats, print size, font, all of those fun things that Debbie knows all about. and so we are working on doing that and setting some definite deadline dates that we're going to be able to tell you right up front, the first of the year. It is our goal to have the next issue come out in January with a spring issue and a fall issue. So we are looking at three issues. We will be having more themed issues. Thank you to all of you who have helped us with the last two issues in submitting some great articles. It's been really fun to see how creative people could be. We've gotten some very awesome stuff, and we are really working hard on making sure that it is available in all formats, including being able to read it on your smartphone, and having the audio version up on the website. So we are working on those things, and stay tuned. Kim, scholarships.
Hold on. Down.
Her dog wants to socialize, too.
He thought I was getting up.
Oh.
And this is Junior's first convention. So I am the chair of the scholarship committee this year, and it has been a very busy year. I've been on the scholarship committee for like six previous years, and I mean, I've done stuff, but to be the chairman, that's a whole new game. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and this is a very busy working chapter throughout the committee throughout the whole year, from the time we begin. And this year, we started out having to build a new application because of issues with the old website system, and then going to a new website and having to build the scholarship application from the ground up. And so that took us a little while to get started. We got a late start on that. But once we got going, we got 9 candidates in from the time the application went live in June until we closed at the end of July. Out of those 9, we found 4 of those applicants who stood out above and beyond the others. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail tonight about each of the individual scholarship winners, because I would really hope that all of you attend the scholarship reception, where you get a chance to really learn about these exciting people and hear all about what kind of educational endeavors they have and the amounts of money that they will be awarded. There were a few things that we really had to work on when we did the applications, and because I think that when we go back and work on the application for next year, we need to be a little more specific and a little clearer on exactly what you need to submit to apply for the application. And we need to be very clear on the application, what supporting documents you need to submit. I don't think those were as clear, and so it kind of made it a little tougher as we went along and we were having applications come in and working through to make sure that each and every one of those applicants met their criteria. But overall, it was, you know, we got through it, we did it, and it was a good, I think in the long run, it was a good committee. It was, we did the job we were asked to do, and things turned out well. And the thing I'm really the most pleased with is the scholarship winners that we ended up, that we are awarding scholarships to this year. The last thing I want to say is I just have a little incentive for you to attend the scholarship reception. So we haven't done this before, but there will be 3 door prizes during the scholarship reception. Like door prizes? Come meet our scholarship winners and maybe you'll win. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. So the scholarship reception is Saturday afternoon at 5:30. Everybody come. Okay, we need to get the mic back to Haley to talk about WCB Cares Committee.
Okay, we are going to be approaching our 4th year of doing WCB Cares. I'm so excited because when I approached Steve about it in the beginning, you know, I didn't know how well it would go. And like I've said in the past, how well it goes is kind of bittersweet, right? Because if we're needing to send cards out, that means people are sick or people are passing away. But we're just so blessed and honored to be a part of that whenever we get a chance to. So this year we sent out, I counted yesterday, approximately 47 cards.
Sometimes it's in the form of a phone call to you, or sometimes I know Carol has made several visits this year. And so I think overall in those 3 years that we've been doing it, it's we're close to 200 cards that we've sent out. That's not including phone calls or visits, but so that's fantastic. I'm super excited. The difficulty is that if we don't hear from you, we don't know, we can't send a card, and people fall through the cracks, and it doesn't mean we don't care. We just didn't hear about the need that you had. So next year in January, as presidents of chapters change and Sunshine Committee people change in each chapter, we're going to really be reaching out to you to help us make sure we hear about people in your chapters that may have a need. This year we decided it was, I'm sorry I didn't mention my committee members for FBC, and for WCB I have Carol Brame and Karen Johnson, and Karen came up with a suggestion that we find a way to reach out to first timers this year. So, we will be, working with Mika to get some little goodies to her, to place on the tables for each, first timer. And it'll have a little tag on it that just says WCB Cares. So that's something new that we've done this year. And hold on 1 second. I know, I can't think. Can you read this Braille for me, Sydney?
No.
Have my daughter with me. So last year was Braden's turn, and this year is Sydney's turn. Aww. So she's with me this time to help out.
Awesome.
So anyway, like I said, it's been a really busy year. I have a request since we're WCB Cares. I'm going to challenge you guys to a little something, and it may seem kind of silly, but it's what makes the world go round. I have in my pocket a kindness coin, and I'll be the first person to start it. So whoever the first person may be, it's kind of a paying it forward through our convention. I will perform an act of kindness. I will give you the coin. Your job is to then perform an act of kindness and pass it on to that person. And the convention's done. I'd like maybe on listserv or somehow for you to let me know what that act of kindness was. It's who I am. I'm kind of mushy. I'm sorry. But I think that's what makes our organization just so fabulous, is how we love and care for each other. So anyway, moving forward, we'll just be contacting chapters to see how you can help us get information that we need. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Oh, sit.
Debbie, you want to say anything about resolutions?
Mm-hmm. I certainly do.
Ooh.
Resolutions are the sort of the heart and soul and policy of the organization. And they chart our path for the next period of time, depending on the auspices of that particular resolution. We have three substantive resolution proposals this year, and we will be discussing them upstairs on the 12th floor in the Queen Anne room following this meeting, as ever how long it takes. So one of those resolutions coming from the Aging and Blindness Committee, as I've already mentioned, the Independent Living Resolution. It's real long. It challenges the amendments. So it's long, too, but not 40 minutes. Doreen Cornwell has submitted a resolution, and Burl Colley has, and Doreen's is a commendation resolution, basically. And Burl has submitted a resolution related to accessibility of vending machines. That one is the one that actually needs the most work, because there are some jurisdictional issues and some things there. So I think we need to have some discussion around that particular resolution and how to put forward sort of first steps on that one. So that's what we'll be doing at 9:30. And if you like charting the future, you should join us in the Queen Anne room upstairs as soon as we find it. Thank you.
Okay. Is Jolene in the room? Get a mic to Jolene for the WSSB report.
I am continuing on the board of the Washington State School for the Blind, and they have meetings a few times a year, face-to-face, and some over the phone. And we had our last meeting in September on the 20th, thereabouts, that Friday of September, and our next meeting is a week from today. Tomorrow. Yeah. And there is a representative on the board from each of the legislative districts, and then we're represented by the various interest groups, the Washington Council of Blind, the National Federation of the Blind of Washington State, the parents, teachers, various groups, and this makes up the board. So I am an ex officio member, which means that I don't vote, but I go to represent all of you to the board and then come back and represent what's been happening at the board to this group. And basically, things are going along at the board. I'm trying to think what else I need to tell you. Burl is on that board, as is Reggie. They're actually voting members, and so we are well represented there.
And Scott will be here on Saturday.
And Scott will be here for the represent of the big three, representing the School for the Blind. He's their new superintendent following Dean Stengem, and he's very personable. We like him very much. And he, Dean was a hard act to follow, but I think Scott is doing a very good job of taking that helm.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yes, Reggie.
Yeah, I needed a microphone. There is a current situation going on at the blind school that you will probably hear about on Saturday. Apparently they've had some threats against students and teachers. That were online, somebody on Facebook, and I guess they've got multiple law enforcement agencies involved, and they're just, they call it a modified lockdown, but I mean, it really isn't, but they're not too concerned, it sounds like, but they're trying to keep everybody calm while they get that sorted out. And there's been emails going around the board about that. They did a lot of building, over the summer, but they didn't have as much time to work on things because of when the capital budget was passed. And but overall, the blind school does seem to be doing very well. So, yeah.
And hold on to that mic, Reggie, because you're next. Okay, Reg did send out to the board the report from the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library. He is our representative on that board. Before I ask if there's any questions, do you have any particular part to that report you'd like to highlight?
Cindy Aiden, our state librarian, was not able to attend, and Danielle Miller was on her way over to China that morning. To participate in conference, and so she gave her report and took off on a plane for like 27 hours or something crazy, and so it was a kind of a short meeting, but the most significant thing that has happened lately is that they did get rid of the large print adult book collection, and they had been signaling that they intended to do that for quite some time. I believe I mentioned that at the last meeting, and because it was, a lot of it went back to 2008, and it wasn't being maintained, and it was taking up space that they needed for other things, and wasn't being well utilized. Danielle will be here, you know, Saturday to give her own report. The people that she has working on youth programs and on outreach are amazing. I mean, they use their resources so well, and they've got some very generous donors that are actually covering the salaries for like three of the people that work there. I'm just very impressed with things that are happening at the library. We were told that the new cartridges actually come with the firmware updates. There's a new firmware update for the digital players that allows, as soon as one book ends, it will start the next book automatically, or go to the next book anyway, on the cartridge. So for people that have a hard time holding down that play button and scrolling through to get to their list of books, and they're expanding the pilot that allows multiple books to be put on a cartridge. And so if that is something that you feel like you need, you can just call your reader advisor and they will take care of that. And, you know, they're getting new equipment in the audiobook production area. So just a lot of good things going on at the library right now.
Great. Thank you. Debbie, DSB.
Well, I'll be pretty quick with this because I've talked about part of the DSB issues that are facing the State Rehabilitation Council. But the major thing that DSB is dealing with right now is implementation of what is called order of selection. And that is a process whereby when they do not have enough money to fully serve all of the individuals who would be applying for services, the federal government requires them to implement this thing called order of selection. So the order of selection began on October 1st, and they started out with about 27 people in the queue who would not receive VR services at this time. So we have this set of people who we don't know when will be receiving services. We have an estimated 300 people in IL who will not be receiving services. And so there are just some really, really major things kind of happening in this whole area that are very, very challenging for DSB. So the SRC participated in a long process with DSB of developing the regulations for the order of selection, and now the SRC is involved in a process with DSB to try to figure out how they will implement the cuts for independent living. I really can't emphasize enough to you the role and importance of the SRC in representing consumers and other constituents that are impacted by the services that DSB offers to people of all ages. And I would encourage you, if you fit any of the categories that the SRC has, and actually all of you who are members of WCB fit at least one, which is members of a consumer organization, and many of you meet the categories of current or former recipients of service. There are a few others that are a little harder to meet, but I would encourage you when the SRC announces that it does have openings that you would consider applying to serve on that council in particular, because there are very, very major things affecting the blind and low vision community that are happening with respect to rehabilitation, whether it's VR or independent living.
Thank you. Yes, Gloria.
Just to add a little bit to what Debbie said, the SRC is currently looking for representation on the business and labor, and I currently represent that constituency. So if anybody is interested and wants to talk to me about that and what it's like from that standpoint of view. I'll be around this weekend, so I just wanted to mention that.
Great, thank you. Okay, what's happening at ACB? And Jeff, correct me if I forget anything, because I'm sure I will. The 2019 convention is July 5th through the 12th, as you all know. It's going to be at the two hotels, the Radisson Riverside Hotel and the Hyatt Regency Hotel. They're across the street from each other. You can get there either from going outside and crossing the street, or you can go through the convention center, and there is a walkway through the convention center. Room rates are going to be $89 a night plus tax. The two tours we definitely know about are that the first Friday evening, they're going to do a plated dinner cruise through the locks on the Erie Canal. And the last Friday, Friday after convention, they're going to do a tour to Niagara Falls. They were going to try to do a baseball game that night too, but they determined that was not going to work out very well because of the amount of time it takes to get to the falls and back. And they were just afraid there wasn't going to be time. I know that they're looking at doing a candy tour where you will go and make your own truffles. They are looking, they're putting together a tour to, oh God, watch me screw this up when my husband is such a sports fan. Cooperstown, thank you. Burl, do you remember other tours? Oh yeah, the Eastman Kodak House. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. They've got some great tours. Oh yeah, they're going to a cheese factory, and you're going to get to actually make cheese. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but that's what they're going to do. In 2020, we will be going to the Renaissance Schaumburg Hotel and Convention Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. Schaumburg is actually right close to O'Hare Airport. The convention dates are July 3rd through the 10th. Room rates will be $94 a night plus tax. In 2021... And no, the contract hasn't been signed yet, but the board approved that we go to the Hyatt Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona. You have to go where it's hot. That's right. And in 2022, if all goes well, we will be going to Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, Omaha. Yeah. Other things about ACB, they have accepted another 2-year agreement with the Louisville Web Group to continue working on their website. And if anybody's been up on the new ACB website, it's really nice. They've done an awesome job. As of the board meeting, we had 3,753 likes on our ACB Facebook page, and 2,490 followers on Twitter. And I want to tell you guys, that's totally cool, because I remember when we started with Facebook and Twitter with ACB. They have taken in a revenue of $240,000 from 603 individuals in their direct mail campaign. So they've really turned direct mail around, and it's really been cool. And the last thing I wanted to tell you, this year, for the first time, ACB was able to give CEU credits, continuing education credits, for 51 of our convention sessions qualified for CEU credits. and 26 people signed up. And so this is an exciting thing that they're going to continue to do because it worked right, really well, you know, be able to do that. ACB is hosting the Braille Authority of North America meeting from the first through the, well, right here, during our convention in Salt Lake City. And they're hosting the regional meeting of the World Blind Union on the 30th of November in Alexandria. And let's see, the only other thing that I thought was so cool, where is it? Where did I write it down? You know, guys, every year I talk about the fact that we spend more than we take in for our convention, and our convention doesn't pay for itself. Well, I want to tell you, and I know every year we go to ACB convention and we all grouse about, oh God, do we have to hear one more sponsor talk about, you know, give their commercial, you know, talk about themselves. But I want you to know that after expenses this year, ACB netted $243,806. That's right. Bring on the commercials. So that's just, you know, I was so amazed when I saw that number. I just could not, couldn't even believe that. That was, I just thought, wow, that's just amazing. Okay, let's see. Where am I? I'm going to find my place. Flipping file. Yeah, come on. Okay. All right. All right. So, we're going to move on to old business. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is future WCB conventions. If you remember on our last board call, this was not at the board meeting, but on our last board call, we were talking about the fact that we were looking at going to the Mike Brick spoke, the Double Tree, God, the Double Tree in Spokane in 2019. Well, Cindy has been working really diligently with the DoubleTree folks, and we have thought long and hard about the pros and cons of going to Spokane, and because we don't have a convention bus budgeted in the budget this year, we were really concerned that trying to go to Spokane and get the number of people there we would need to get there to meet all the minimums we have to meet, that that was not going to work really well. We would do it, but that wasn't going to work really well. The DoubleTree has come back to us and asked us about entering into a 3-year contract with the SeaTac DoubleTree in 2019, 20, and in 21. In 2019, room rates would be $102 plus tax with a $22,000 food and beverage minimum. In 2020, room rates would be $104 a night plus tax with a $23,000 food and beverage minimum. And in 21, rooms would be $109 with a $24,000 food and beverage minimum. We would be getting one of the other you know, several other amenities, but one of the things they have agreed to give us is a certificate for a dinner and 2 nights lodging at the hotel for our convention that we will then be able to include in our raffle or whatever it is we choose to have for the next couple years. And I'll let Cindy add what she wants to in just a second, but I wanted to tell you that we needed to make a decision. You know, we had to get a contract signed. When we don't know ahead of time where we're going to go, this year was really difficult trying to put this together because we had so little time, and I think CityD has done a yeoman's job of getting, working with this hotel and getting us the contract that we have. I made the decision that we would enter into contract with the DoubleTree, SeaTac DoubleTree, for the next 3 years. I think it's a good contract. I think that they are bending over backwards to meet our needs. There is lots of room in that hotel. We can do breakouts again if we want to. We aren't going to have the issue we had the last time with them scheduling another event at the same time we're there. So I did enter into the contract with them, and I'm going to let Cindy share other things because she's the one that's been dealing directly with them.
They really have every concern, every thing that I went back to them with and said, you know, we need to be able to make sure that we have access to the tower rooms, which are the rooms closest to the ballrooms. They're also more expensive. They were going to charge us more. They came back and they're giving them to us still at that, those rates that, Denise mentioned. There's 700 rooms in the tower itself. So we can all be in the tower without any problem at all. yeah, that's a bonus. One of the things that, and you know, we've known it's a challenge. Hospitality is a challenge. Most of you get to go to hospitality and you have no idea of what, you know, how difficult that is to negotiate, to be able to bring in our own liquor. And, you know, then there's a lot of responsibilities. Who did it for years. And, but interestingly, the Hilton hotels no longer will allow groups to bring in their own liquor. And so that meant that there would be some changes. However, I still was able to negotiate some things that I think will work out well for us. They will provide a bartender, and it will be in the contract. One, we can bring in snacks and soda. And two, they will sell drinks at a minimal cost of $5, $5 in 2019, and it goes up a quarter each year thereafter. So $5.25 and $5.50. We're guaranteed those prices, and that means that none of our members have to deal with getting the banquet permit, handling the money, and everybody can just enjoy hospitality. So anyway, it'll be a little different next year, but still I was able to work with them, and they were willing to work with us to do something that they've not done before at this hotel. That's a big revenue. That's a big money maker for them, liquor. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. What is the other thing? There will be parking rate will be $10 a night. So those who do deal with cars, that will be the case. And it will be across the board all 3 years, so it doesn't go up. Believe me, that's way less than what parking is. The going rate is somewhere between $26 and I think $40 or something like that right now, and that's not what it will be in 2 years from now or 3 years from now. So anyway, that's it. So we're going to SeaTac DoubleTree over the next 3 years.
It was, it was interesting as we were going through this process, and I just felt like I didn't think we were going to get a better deal anywhere. I'm sure those of you in Eastern Washington are thinking, you know, why do we always have to come over here? And we understand that and we appreciate that. And I think we're going to have some conversations about what we can do to help supplement for you guys a little bit, because, you know, we want to make a good faith effort to ensure that, you know, we're being as fair to all of you as we can. All right, the website. In January, we voted to enter into an agreement with Jonathan Mosen from Mosen Consulting to do our website, to help us get it up to date, to help us create templates that could be used by our committee chairs without having to know HTML and all of that kind of stuff. And Jonathan and Debbie worked really hard on the scholarship application and all of the convention applications and program. Everything had to go up on the website. And I hope you all found that the convention registration was so much easier this year. However, there's always a however. You know, we love Ira dearly, but one thing Ira seems to do is take all the good people. Jonathan has gone to work for Ira, dealing with their Australia-New Zealand office, and no longer feels that he can do our site. Actually, Mosen Consulting is probably going to pretty much go away. So I've asked Deb to kind of tell you where we are at this point, what her goals are, what her view is for the future, what we're doing in terms of trying to find someone else to assist us. And the other thing I will tell you is that halfway through the whole thing, or shortly after our board meeting in January, we discovered that our webmaster, Keen, had essentially just disappeared, had fallen off the face of the earth. We don't know what happened to him. And what that did was it made it really difficult for us, because we didn't have all the information we needed to get into the back door to do all the stuff that we needed to do to update things. So we've basically had to kind of start from scratch. And we're going to have bigger and better, but I just wanted to preface what Debbie will share with you with those remarks. So Deb.
Is this working? Not yet. Let's see. There it goes. Okay. I think that's working. Well, thank you, Denise. It's been a really challenging time, and I know that it's also been very frustrating for everyone, not the least of whom is me. So I'm only a mile from Idaho. I was thinking maybe I can just move the other mile and this can become somebody else's problem. So we are, the work that Jonathan and I did do, in addition to some form redesign and some other tasks that we've been working on, is to sort of spec out the overall process for what needs to happen with our site. And so we did a good deal of groundwork on that. So now what we are going to be doing formally is advertising for someone or a place to take over that development piece for us. We were paying and are paying for that. And so that is something that we will continue to do. So I have some feelers out and some contacts that are made, but we will be actually now moving forward with a more formal process. And the issue is that we actually have a number of things behind the scenes that do require some pretty reasonable skills, particularly managing our payment processing pieces that are online and some of those things. So it's not exactly a small task.
And it's, you know, more than any of us can just kind of do sitting around on the weekend. So we do need to have somebody actually responsible for that maintenance. There have also, and so we are working on that. We hope to have something in place by the first of the year to continue that on. And we'll make sure it's somebody Ira doesn't want to hire. or VFO or any of those other people out there. But we want to make sure that it's also somebody who's good enough for them to all want to hire, because that's what we need. The other issue that people have had a lot of frustration about and that we are working on and have actually made quite a bit of progress on is some of the challenges with the listservs. People with certain kinds of addresses and certain kinds of hair color or something get tossed off of some of the WCB lists routinely. And for a long time, we actually didn't have access to create new lists, or we could always modify the lists, but we have not been able to really work with that. So we now have a plan in place that is beginning to work, and it involves analysis of the activity on the list that goes awry and then making the corrections as we go. And so there are a number of people who have been experiencing more restoration recently. This really motivated me a lot when I was one of the ones who got tossed off. Wait a minute, I said.
We just did that on purpose.
Yeah, I figured that we did. So Denise says we did that on purpose. Well, that helped. So I got really interested in this. So that is another thing that we're doing. Another really cool thing that we're working out, Denise will be talking later about some of the possibilities for different ways to have board meetings and that sort of thing. And we have worked out all of the logistics for the live broadcasting of board meetings and the process of making ways for people to participate so that our entire state could conceivably participate in the board meeting without having to travel to it. So we have the communications pieces of that all worked out, and it would look somewhat like the process that we did for those of you who participated in the tribute to Marlena Lieberg that Jeff Bishop and I did, where we had the broadcast and we had Zoom and we had various facilities together that made it possible for people literally around the world to participate in real time. So we'll be able to do that for WCB. So I'm pretty excited about some of the things we're doing, and I'm really annoyed and frustrated with some of the challenges that we have. But if you know of someone who is appropriate and qualified for us to consider to have working on our site, we are going to be open for that, and we do have some expectations for them to demonstrate for that, and we'll post those. But in the meantime, if you know of anyone, they are certainly welcome to talk to me, and we'll continue on from there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So, Deb, keep the mic, and you want to update the board on where we are with the credit card and bank account situation.
Okay. This is lots of fun, too. We had some major challenges around our credit card, and they were not anything to do with whether we were paying it off. We were. But it became very complicated because our bank, which is Bank of America, had required a large variety of things of WCB for WCB to have a credit card. And this was kind of back between my times as treasurer, so I didn't know we'd entered into this, or I might have really been pretty concerned that we did. So, for example, now that we know all those things, we could have had any convention we wanted in anywhere we wanted to do it, and Burl Colley would have been ultimately responsible for our credit card bill. We just want you all to know. And his backup for this big responsibility is Cindy Van Winkle. So when I went in to make some other changes at the bank, and I wanted to talk about that, they kind of wanted to know about the sort of the wherewithal and financial well-being of Mr. Colley and Ms. Van Winkle. And I said that was none of the bank's business. And that's when I learned that actually the bank thought it was. And then we had some other interesting things, because Cindy
wanted to do some personal banking, and it got messed up by the bank in our banking, and her card was frozen, and our card was frozen, and all these things, and we couldn't figure, it was just amazing. Yeah, it was real fun. We were all having fun. Yeah, I felt a little better once I understood where, what we were kind of into. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, because none of us could understand the conversations we were having. It was like, you're speaking one language and they're speaking another language. And then we kept getting sent around and around and around. And then finally Cindy and I had this conversation and we discovered we were having the same conversation. It was very scary. So, the very bottom line is the bank got really sick and tired of WCB and closed our credit card. And we can't get a credit card. And I don't think at the way this set is set up, the way our particular finances are set up, even though we have lots and lots of money, we don't keep it in that bank or any other like that bank. And so, have you checked on their interest rates lately? So, we don't do that, and therefore, even though we have sound credit and we have assets, the bank doesn't, no bank is actually valuing us for a credit card. So, no. The question was, can Morgan Stanley issue us a card? And the answer is no. So anyway, that's okay. This is fine. So the board approved, phone conference, the notion that we would research changing banks. We'll fix you, bank. Because the board did not actually provide me with a written resolution for that, I couldn't move forward other than research. And what we found in the research was that we really weren't going to have any big advantage to changing banks because we were not going to be able to get a credit card anywhere, frankly. And so what we have done instead, because it didn't require any board approval, it was so easy, we have gotten a debit card against our PayPal account and a debit card against our Bank of America checking. And that is how we're going to operate in the future. So we will not have a debit card, a credit card as such, and you will not need to take any action for that to happen. It's already done. And it works for everything we do except one or two small things that we'll just sort of deal with when we get there. But for most things we do, that's fine. So there is no action that the board needs to take specifically about the credit cards. But there are two actions the board does need to take with respect to banking. The first one is actually related to Morgan Stanley, and that is that we need to authorize removing Steve Fixtal as past president from the Morgan Stanley account and establishing Denise on the Morgan Stanley account. And we actually have to do the whole thing over, so it actually establishes Denise and me on the Morgan Stanley account. And so that is one resolution that I'll be asking the board to take this evening. The other one is actually to formalize a resolution that the board made on the phone, but needs to do here and formalize so that we get it as part of the minutes and written. And that is that we decided at the board meeting that it's important. One of the things that has been very important for WCB is to have some consistency and some process across whenever we change our officers. Every time we change our officers, we go through an amazing amount of garbage at the banks and everywhere because we don't have a sort of person of record who stays in the system all the time. So we change president, we change treasurer, we change this or that, and we have to start everything all over. And it's very difficult to do that when our membership is across the state. It also has been difficult for Kim Thiel as our bookkeeper to act on our behalf under certain conditions when she's needed to represent us to banking institutions, etc. So we don't need to add her to the Morgan Stanley account because she actually has full read access without any board approval. She doesn't have any need to ever write to it. Because the actions that are taken there are taken by the board. So there's no need to change it there. But at our last board conference, we approved on the phone the idea that Kim Thiel would be added as our bookkeeper to our Bank of America account, which is the account we will now keep. It was going to be in a different bank. That Kim would be added to that and as our bookkeeper would be the person of record for that account in the same way that Nancy Becker does this for ACB as their accountant. ACB elects treasurers every few years or so, and those people are the reporting power, but the bank, a lot of the behind-the-scenes banking and things happen with the bookkeeper, and we know that happens here because Kim is doing that for us, and some other person may in the future, and we'll need to deal with that with them. But we need to have our bookkeeping staff able to operate for us in our banking arena as needed, particularly when our officers are not close together. Excuse me. So to that extent, I would like to make two separate motions for the board. The first one for Morgan Stanley, which authorizes Deborah Cook, and Denise Colley, as treasurer and president of WCB, will be the authorized signatories on the Morgan Stanley account, and that Steve Fixdall, as past president, will be removed from authorization on the Morgan Stanley account, consistent with WCB policy.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Great. And then the second one that I would like to do is to move that Kim Thiel be added as a person of record and authorized on the Bank of America checking account for WCB.
Second.
Seconded by Carol. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? And that's all I have.
Motion carried.
Carol did.
I thought Carol made it.
Oh, I made it.
You made it.
I made it. It's really late, guys. Sorry about that. Yeah,
it was such a good motion.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do this really quickly because it's getting late. And, Burl, if you want to, I don't know if you're going to want to come up here or get the mic from where you are, but you're going to be next as soon as I get done. All right. I'm going to talk about board meetings for this next year. We have thought long and hard about board meetings and the issues with travel and chapter reps having issues and not always being able to be at board meetings and various sundry things. And so what I have proposed to the Finance Committee and am proposing is that in 2019, this is going to be an experiment, we're going to see how this works, that WCB will hold two face-to-face board meetings, one being in the spring that we will do in conjunction with some form of a leadership training. I don't know what that will be or what that will look like or who will be involved at this point, and the pre-convention board meeting prior to convention, and that our winter board meeting, or our first board meeting of the year, and our summer board meeting be conference call board meetings, that we would use the Zoom Cloud platform, which means that those who want to use their computer can, those who want to use their cell phone can, those who want to dial in can. There are various sundry ways to access the Zoom Cloud platform. We did it very successfully with our caucus, and we did it successfully when we had, well, almost successfully, except I screwed up, when we had the budget call. I admit it. And this way, number one, it would cut down on board expenses. Number two, it would allow anybody in the state, any member, to come on the call, participate in the board meeting, just as you would if you were in the room. It means the board meetings would probably not be as long, because we probably would might do a few less reports. We're going to ask committees to do more of their reports in writing so that we have the time we need to actually conduct the business of the board. So this is what we are, the plan that I am proposing to implement this next year, because we feel it's really important for everybody, all members, to get to be a part of the board process. And we wanted to make it as easy as we could for people. And the other thing that we are going to be doing is that we are getting our own Zoom account, and we are going to be starting to utilize it. We'll still keep the Free Conference Pro numbers if we need to, but we really want to encourage committees to start using that platform, because overall, the quality of your meeting is going to be a whole lot better. We are going to put together and provide a couple of trainings for committee chairs or whomever on the committee, each committee is assigned to be the person that'll get the call started and that kind of stuff. We're not going to just throw you out there and say, here, now you got to do it. We're going to be providing training, but we really want to encourage committees to move over to that platform for next year. So we will be working on those things. Any questions about that? Yes.
We've been talking about doing this with United Blind to Walla Walla too, for like when we can't meet because of the weather in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Is any chance that those training sessions can be open to the affiliates and the chapters?
I see no reason why we couldn't do that. Absolutely. Yeah, it would probably be a separate training, but yes, we absolutely could do that. All right. Burl, are you ready to come talk about budget?
Okay, here we go. I noticed that there was a wave of excitement that shot through the crowd when Denise announced the budget.
Let me just say one thing before you get started. We did have a budget call. We had a call where we invited people to come on. We went through the budget item by item. We talked about some of the changes. We are going to have two Braille copies of the budget out at the registration desk that you can look at. Please don't take them away with you, but because we didn't have any way to get a lot of them brailled. I don't know if we have any large print or not. But oh, yeah, there is a large print summary of the budget. The Braille, we just kind of did the whole thing, but because I didn't want to write up the summary. But we also have a summary, so you can look at it, you know, ahead of time if you weren't able to be on that call or if you have questions.
Okay, Denise, Lisa has her computer with her. She can produce a large print copy of the budget if we need it.
Okay, great.
Okay, Debbie was mentioning about the people getting kicked off of our list. I've never been kicked off that list. They're still looking for my hair to see what color it is, so that's what. 2019 budget. Oh, by the way, I want to thank my committee before I get going into this. The finance committee this year was Steve Fixdall, Lisa George, Byron Kosmowski. Did I get that right, Byron?
Kosmowski.
It's only taken me 10 years. That's all right. Debbie Lewis, Tim McCorkle and Lynn McCulley. And they've had quite a few meetings this year, so thank you. Income anticipated for 2019. The first area is unassigned receipts.
Undesignated
receipts. And under that is fundraising. Fundraising is ATS Northwest. We're anticipating $15,000. And that's quite a reduction. Vehicle donation, zero. And that's quite a reduction. Remember in 2002 we had $202,000. We got off of that. Other fundraisers, $2,500, and it sounds like we've got some things going that'll be good. So our total fundraising is $17,500. Other program incomes. The interest from the Northwest Access Fund, $200. ACB monthly monetary support is $200, and I know that's low because lots of you are going to sign up tomorrow in the MMS program of those sheets that are at the desk out there. Membership dues next year, anticipating $4,500. Miscellaneous, and that's a category that Debbie gets money, comes in, and she just says, what the hell is this? And she just throws it at miscellaneous. Seattle Mariners, we don't have any money in that category next year. And so the total program income is $6,800. Total undesignated funds at $24,300. Now we get into the designated receipts. Scholarship donations. We've been hoping for years and nothing's ever happened, so now we've zeroed that line out. State convention, under state convention, we have sponsorships, that's zero. Vendor tables next year, $2,000. Registration, $15,000. T-shirt sales. You buy a T-shirt off of Cindy. We'll make $150 off that if you do that. Total state convention income, $17,150. Total designated is the same figure. Total income for 2019, we're anticipating $41,450. We'd like to have more, but expenses, the other side of the ledger. Internal expenses, under that, ACB conventions. Under ACB conventions are delegate, first-timer, $2,624. Member stipends, $3,000. Yeah, we just don't think that many people are going to go to Rochester. Caucus, we're not doing that next year. Door prizes, $300 for a total ACB convention of $5,924. WCB board meetings and training. Well, you just heard what Denise had to say. The winter board meeting is all zeroed. Spring board meeting and training, we have the catering is $1,200 for the board and $1,200 for the leadership. Facilities and lodging for the board, $2,000 for the training, $2,000. Travel for the board, $800 for the leadership, $800. Printing and brailing, zero for a total of $8,000. Summer board meeting is all zeros. So the total of the board meetings and trainings for next year is $8,000, which is a spring board meeting. Internal committees and programs. Awards committee, $350. Chapter stipends, zero.
And before you get all upset, we'll be talking about all of that tomorrow morning in the president's breakfast.
History committee, $50. Leadership committee, zero. For a total of $400 under internal committees. Operations and other, I should say. Operations, we've always called it. Attorneys and legal, $500. That means nothing better happen because $500 would be 1 hour.
Yeah.
Bookkeeping, $2,500. Insurance, this is ensuring that your board is insured, $2,200. Investment management, $18,000. Credit card, $150. Miscellaneous business expenses, $200. Storage, $800. Tax prep, $600. Boy, how many of you can get your personal tax done that for that? Telephone, $1,500. That's the 800 number. Conference calls, because we're going to go to the new system next year, be $150. That's a great reduction. State board is zero. The state, now this is a category that we haven't had that long, and it was because there were some of our members who belonged to other state boards. We don't anymore, so that's zeroed out. President's discretionary, $500. Total operations, $27,100. Total internal, $41,424. External expenses. ACB activities, the ACB president meeting and legislative seminar, $1,200. ACB life membership, we've zeroed that out. Dues to ACB next year, $2,250, which is half of the $4,500 that we'll collect. ACB activities, the total is $3,450. State convention, this is expenses. Audiovisual, $1,000. That category has been going up fairly rapidly. Internet, $700, another category. Brailing and printing, $700. Bus, we've zeroed out. Convention committee, $500. Convention stipends, zero. Discretionary travel is zero. Food and facilities, this is a contractual thing, $28,000. First timer, $2,000. Free room, zero. President and coordinator, $300. And so that school, we have a scholarship committee, $3,000. Guest speaker, $1,500. Thank you to Lisa for holding the microphone. Okay, so total state convention, $37,700. External committees and programs. Aging, $250. It only costs $250 to age. I haven't found that. Advocacy, $500. Communications committee, $5,000. Crisis committee, $3,000. Families, $2,500. Legislative Committee, $500. We better hope nothing happens next year in the legislature. We have to have a bus for it. Membership. Under membership, we have chapter visits, $2,000. The membership committee, $300. Startup next year, zero. Total, $2,300. Newsline, $4,000. Northwest Access cost next year, about $800. Grants and donations. $5,400. A little bit about this. Before we had stipends, and some of the chapters were kind of living on those stipends, that wasn't their intent. And so what we've decided next year to do is to set up $5,400 in grants and donations, and if a chapter comes to the finance committee with a proposal for some activity, and then that will be considered, and we could give them a stipend or a grant for that. Seattle Mariners is zero. WCB Cares, $200. Haley. Scholarship award, $17,800. Total external program costs, $42,250. Total external expenses, $83,400. And total expenses, this anticipating for 2019 is $124,824. Leaving us with a net ordinary loss of $83,374.
And so as you see, thank you, Burl, as you see, and we will definitely talk more about this on Saturday, but as you see here, we are anticipated spending $83,374 more than we're bringing in. With all the cutbacks, with all of the things that we cut. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking, but you just said we had over $1 million in the bank. Those are a lot of our investments, thank you, our investments. If we continue spending at the level that we're spending and we are doing essentially nothing to bring income in, within 10 to 12 years, we probably won't exist, or at least won't exist at the level that we are right now. So while I know some of you are thinking, well, geez, you're taking everything away. You're taking the chapter stipends away. You're taking the chapter startups away. You're taking so many things away. There are reasons for that. And one of those is that if we want to start looking at grants, if we want to start looking at other kinds of funding opportunities, endowments, those kinds of things, we have to change the way we do business. It can't be all about us. It has to be about what we are doing out in the community to help better the lives of blind and visually impaired people. And that's what they look at. They don't want to know about what you're paying to help a chapter start up, or that you're giving a chapter a stipend every year to do what they should be doing in the first place, which is getting their membership information incorrectly and other things. So presidents, we will be discussing it more tomorrow morning, because I'm sure you have questions. This was not an easy decision, guys. This is tough when you have to do this. But we also have to be fiduciarily responsible. And it is the responsibility of this board to be able to do that. And so I would entertain a motion that we refer the budget to the convention as a whole at the business meeting on Saturday afternoon with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And trust me, the board didn't like this either. So it's not anything any of us really wanted. I know there are going to be some issues that will come up on Saturday, and that's fine. That's going to be everybody's time to be able to, I mean, we hope that having the call answered questions for people. I'm sorry more of you couldn't have been on the call. It really was a good way of being able to ask questions and talk about a lot of these things and find out what the rationale was. You know, and we will try to explain as much of that as we can on Saturday, knowing that our business meetings do go long. And oftentimes what happens is we get 10 minutes left to do the budget. And that's not a very good way to pass a budget. So feel free to, you know, talk to any of us tomorrow, ask any of your questions. And I know that there may be some things that people are going to want to vote on to change, and we understand that. But this is going to be the budget that we will present to you on Saturday afternoon for adoption. Okay, so
it's Frank, and I got a question about that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this 10 to 12 year problem. I understand that the investments are the investments, but the amount keeps going up every year. And how can we be in trouble in 10 or 12 years? I do not understand.
Because we can't guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, the market could crash tomorrow.
But you can't guarantee that we're going to be in a problem in 10 or 12 years.
Well, if we keep taking from reserves, it's going to continue going down.
But it's going up.
Yes, Jeff. Give a mic to Jeff, please.
Hi, this is Jeff, and I'm not a board member, but I do want to say that I think we need to, as an organization, assume that the market is going to go down. If you look at the last month, the tech stocks have taken a pretty significant hit, as well as the market overall. We're in a pretty volatile situation politically, as far as the country. And I think it's best to plan for, you know, things that we're unsure of, if we truly want this organization to survive and to continue. And so I think it really behooves us to really be cautious and make tough decisions to ensure that we all can meet here and continue to thrive as an organization, because that's truly what we all want.
Thank you, Jeff.
Microphone's coming.
I just want to say I had my hand up to ask for the floor before that vote. And if I needed to do it in some other way, I was not told. On the call, it said 20 years now. Tonight, you're saying 10 to 12 years. You'd said that leadership is coming back in some form, or that some type of leadership training would be offered, but that item is at zero in the budget. There's nothing for legislative participation at the state level in the budget. Both of those issues I have a problem with.
Well, the committee itself is zero, but there is money in the budget for leadership training.
Under what category?
It's under board meetings, spring board meeting, and leadership training. We are looking at some other ways of doing training. We're looking at conference calls. We're looking at other options of providing training as opposed to bringing people together for training. Yeah, it's, you know. And your first question, you know, we've sort of been trying to project out, I mean, because we really do have to honestly look at, you know, this is all of our organization. And if we want to keep doing what we're doing, then we've got to find a way to bring in income. And guys, I don't like to have to say this, but I don't see anybody coming forward with great ideas for bringing in income. We were doing really well with the cars for a number of years. We got into it at a time when we were making a lot of money. We aren't making that anymore. Our Santa show continues to go down every year. They're not making we're not bringing in money, the amount of income from that fundraiser that we were, but we're not doing anything else either. And so I would really,
and that's all true. I have no problem with that, but I just thought it'd be better to have some of this discussion tonight than on Saturday, but I know we're running out of time, but it's just the priorities of what do we cut next year when we're already kind of down to the bone? You know, how does this continue to go?
I know. Yeah. I hear you. I totally hear you. Yes, Holly. Yep, she's coming.
Okay, and then we have a hand up front here too.
Well, let's do a board member.
Yeah, no, not that far up front.
Okay.
This is Holly Turi, and mm-hmm. I think that y'all are getting things taken away, but you need to think that you've had it really good for a really long time. I couldn't believe when I came out here that you had stipends, that you had first-timers, that you gave away free rooms. Most of the country doesn't have those things. So I'm not saying that you need to be like everyone else, but we should be thinking that we've had it pretty – y'all have had it – we all have had it pretty well.
Uh-huh. Just a minute. There's somebody on this side of the room that had her hand up.
This is Jolene Ferguson. Small question. I was surprised when the ticket sales for the multi-raffle were limited to, what was it, 500?
Yeah.
I was just wondering why we limited a possible income stream.
It's a raffle. Does that answer your question, Jolene?
Okay, this is Jenny Anderson, president of Snohomish County Council of the Blind, and I was not going to do this, but I was on that budget call, and I thoroughly agree with what they're doing. You guys have had it good for a long time, but it's time that we start thinking outside the box instead of in our own little perimeters. It's time that we're thinking of new ways that we ourselves can get involved in the fundraising, not just paying our membership dues and expecting everything to work for us. But as chapters, how can we get involved to support our organizations? As far as for the stipends, a lot of our members came as a donation came into our chapter as a result of our fundraising. We went out there and made the money and paid for our people to come in. That includes hotel expense. So, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying that we need to start thinking outside the box and start providing ourselves and not just depending on it coming into us.
And one of the things I do want to say back to Reggie's comment, you are so correct. It seems like, and this is so frustrating, because it seems like whether it's the night of the board meeting or the business meeting, the budget always seems to get shortchanged, which is very frustrating to me. And if I could figure out a different way to allow us the significant time that we need to discuss, because you shouldn't be voting on something you don't understand. I mean, it's your budget. It's not ours. We're presenting it. This is the budget that we're bringing forward, but you, the membership, have to ultimately adopt it. And so, it is real frustrating to me, and I wish I could figure out a better way to do this so that everybody could be a part of the discussion. That was why you know, we did the call, and if I had gotten enough interest, I probably would have done a second one, because that's how important I felt that was. Yes.
Somebody gave away your mic.
We got one. This is Deb. The other thing I want to put into this that may sort of muddy the waters for people, you know, I think I don't think anyone is asking that we absolutely be able to balance the budget. It's good that our income from our investments is such that we are able to try to be thoughtful and careful about this, and that we're willing to recommend a budget that is four times more than our income, because we know we're working towards some different things. But the other thing that we need to think about as an organization, and I think Kim could talk about this better than I can, but one of the issues that we really face is with the fundraiser that we have, with the ATS, and it would also be true if we still had the cars, they are giving us a very, very small percentage of the money they earn. It's something like 13% or something that we get. But we have to run all of their income through our books. And what that looks like when we're looking with the IRS, or when we're looking like donation, is it looks like we use, and I'm going to take an intelligent guess on this number. This is a number Kim would have to calculate and tell us. But it looks like we use about 3 or 4% of our money for good, because of the fact that we have so much money going to their operations. So one of the realities in the world is that if we want to be able to go after bigger donors, we have to break ourselves free of the easy money systems that really aren't easy money, that really represent us and use our name and create websites in our name that aren't us, and a lot of things that are a little bit, they're not really dishonest, but they're sort of sleight of hand in a way. And it's easy money for us. You know, we say, oh, we got $15,000 or whatever, and we didn't have to do anything. But the reality is we pay a lot for that. So as we are working through our processes, you know, some of those resources are going away, but also some of the issues that we face with them around reputation and around other kinds of things. You know, I field a lot of calls every year about the frustration with the soliciting processes for the Santa show, or when we were doing the cars, any of that. So we have to just rethink our whole process, and it's not about going out and finding more resources like that, because those actually make it very, very difficult for us to move ahead with the kinds of real things we need to do. So we're super fortunate to have the resource of the market doing well. But that is a totally live investment. And when the market drops significantly at some point, we will see a huge drop in that. So it is true that right now we have the luxury of working this out. And that is super cool. But we probably won't always have, and we have to even evaluate the fundraising resources we have and look at whether they truly are good for us.
And one of the things you want to remember is think about your own personal accounts. Yeah. How many of you have money in the stock market, have money invested in one form or another, from retirement or from them taking, you know, an amount out of your check every month, or however you do that? You don't necessarily, I mean, when you spend what you currently have. You don't spend that money, because it's there for a time when you really are going to need it. So you want to think about it in those terms, because, you know, I know a lot of people are on really fixed incomes, and I understand that, but for those of us who are working or who have worked and have put money away for our retirement or whatever, you don't touch that money. You let that money stay there. You let that money grow. And you live on what you're bringing in monthly and what's going out monthly. And so that's kind of what, you know, the way you want to think about it. We have 3 hours on Saturday. to do all of our business. And I don't want the budget to get shortchanged. So if it seems like I'm pushing us really fast that day, it's because I want the budget to have the time it needs. But we also have other things we have to do. We have elections. We have resolutions. We have 13 constitutional amendments. So it's going to be a really busy time. We have to be done by 4:30 in order to allow everybody time to get to the scholarship reception at 5:30, which is also very important. So we will do the best we can. We will try to answer questions, you know, tomorrow. People can stop any of us to ask questions on the finance committee. We're not trying to not allow for discussion. We're not trying to keep things, not telling you everything. I mean, we want this to be as transparent as we can. And ultimately, it is your budget, and ultimately, you adopt it. So, you know, be thinking about, you know, what your thoughts are and what your concerns are. And if you have something that is you're just really passionate about, if you can come to the board to the business meeting and give us a good argument as to why it should go back in the budget or a piece of it, you know, we're certainly willing to listen and possibly make those decisions. Yes, Lori.
It's Lori, if anybody wants to look at it, we do have we had somebody in the back that had she's a board member. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we have printed copies. So like I said, we'll have 2 Braille copies out at the registration table that you can sit down and take a look at.
And the electronic copy.
That's the other, and I really apologize, you guys. I forgot I was going to put an announcement out that we can put, if you've got a thumb drive or an SD card and you brought a computer or a note taker, we can download all of these documents for you.
I have a question in the back of the room.
Yes.
It's Frank. I've got one more comment.
Yes, this is Heather Mears, and I just have a quick question about corporate sponsorships. You mentioned that was a major contributor at ACB.
Mm-hmm.
And are we actively seeking corporate sponsorships as a state?
We are not at this point, only because there are some things we have to straighten out with the way we do business before we can do that. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but we have some issues that we have to get resolved before we can. And then, of course, once we start doing that, then you understand that, you know, we have to allow them, if they're going to, first of all, we have to give them something specific to sponsor. And that's what corporate sponsorships do. So we have to have a particular thing or a particular project for them to sponsor. We can't just say, we want you to contribute for the general fund. So, yeah, we definitely are going to be looking at those options, because, and being creative about how we go about getting that kind of funding.
Frank, you had a...
Oh, I just wanted to say all this talk about the stocks, but that's the way the stock market works. You know, it goes down and it goes up again. It's just the way it is. So I'm not afraid of that. It always goes up again, and it always goes up higher than it went down.
Carol.
Frank, I know somebody who had a lot of stocks. They were a millionaire, and they lost it all in the last crash.
They got all their stocks.
Yes, they did, but it doesn't matter. They still lost it all.
We're more conservative. Question in the back.
Yes, Madam President.
Sarah.
I think if WCB supports things that are being considered by state legislation, say, like this year they're considering just cause protections for tenants in the state of Washington. And I think if we support something, if we ask for a corporate sponsor to donate in support of that, I don't think that would be a big deal. And also to support, you know, maybe have a corporate sponsor support convention.
Yeah. But we are definitely.
It took national a really long time to get to that.
Yes, it did. It took national a long time to get there.
No.
Okay, are there any other announcements that need to be made before we adjourn? So, does everybody know where they're going tomorrow morning for breakfast? You're not sure? Okay, first timers, do you know where you're going? You're going to the Queen Anne room. General breakfast, where's the general breakfast? 12th floor in the summit room, which is where our lunches will be. And those of us who are going to the president's breakfast, it's in Yesler, which is down here. What? So the breakfasts are at 7:30. The general session opens at 8:45. We have a very full agenda, so we are going to start on time if all goes well, if we have sound.
Madam President.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
Hey, I wanted to mention this while we have all the chapters and leadership here about ACB Radio's holiday auction coming up. I serve on the management team of ACB Radio along with Deb Lewis. And just want to ask each and every one of you to please remember to talk it all up. It's on December 2nd. We're going to have lots of holiday-themed old-time radio before it and lots of great content this year. So it's always a fun time. Okay?
All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Andy and seconded by Carol. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carried.